Hello and welcome to Odds on Champions League. Four last games of the round of last 16, so let's analyze all the games. Remember, with Dani Fisichella, Álvaro Romeo and with you, leave your comments below and don't forget to press the like and subscribe. And now let's go on with the show. Last four games of this last 16 round of fixtures in the Champions League. Hi, Álvaro. Hi, Dani.
Ciao.
Hello.
Ciao, ciao.
And, well, probably we saw the four favorites already qualify for the quarterfinals, but still there is a lot to be played and many open ties. Let's start with the first one on Tuesday, Ajax-Benfica. This is an open one because we had a draw in Daluz 2-2. We imagined that we were going to see goals, Álvaro, in the first leg. And indeed, we saw many goals, four goals. And for this one, if we check the odds, we see Ajax favorite. I don't know if two favorite, no? 1.45, the bookies practically rule out Benfica to qualify.
Two favorite. I think that this is all down to the fact that this season they've been fantastic until now, because Ajax little by little are showing their frailties. In fact, this season we all know that they are a scoring machine. They have scored 77 goals in the Eredivisie in 26 games, which is unbelievable. In the Champions League, they have kept more or less that scoring ratio too. But their defensive line is having problems right now. I mean, they conceded only 5 goals in the first 23 Eredivisie games until the 27th of February, basically. And they have let in 6 goals in their last 3 league games. And they conceded 2 against Benfica too. So the defense is not working that well right now. Maybe blaming the defense is not fair here, because obviously, if a team doesn't work well defensively, it's down to the fact that the holding midfielders are not great, the pressure up front is not doing fantastically. But yeah, Ajax is conceding many more goals as of late. The only thing is that up front, they've got a lot of attacking talent and scoring talent as well. Sebastián Aller has scored many goals in the Champions League, 11, I think, but he has scored in every single game. Anthony is doing a massive contribution with his stats and, you know, his dribblings as well. He has provided 5 stats in the Champions League too. Then Onana is back, and I believe that if Onana is fit, he's the best goalkeeper that they've got. And Ajax hasn't lost the style. If anything, Ajax right now, an Ajax that is conceding more goals than usual, is more of a cliche Ajax, if that makes sense. I mean, what Ajax did at the beginning of the season, not conceding, was more like a Manchester City or Pep Guardiola style, like winning easily and not conceding. Right now, Ajax are more or less what we expect them to be, but still, they are a hell of a team. When it comes to Benfica, good news for them, because Yaremchuk, Otamendi, Gilberto are back. Especially Otamendi and Gilberto are going to be very important because they are both defenders. And, you know, if they play alongside Vertonghen and Grimaldo, I think that Benfica has a decent defensive line. In the weekend, they drew with Vizela 1-1, even though it has to be said that Adel Tarabt was sent off very quickly in the game. They've got good scorers. Darwin Núñez is the best of them. He's the top scorer of the Portuguese League. And in the Champions League, he's scoring many goals. And I would like to say something about another player that doesn't make the headlines so often, but in my opinion, he's phenomenal. Rafa Silva. I mean, against Ajax, he wasn't running like crazy. He was doing some of the most progressive runs in the of the game. And this season, he is the player with more assists in the Portuguese League and the second in attacking sequences produced. And in the Champions League, he's basically showing his cutting edge. And against Barcelona, and especially against Ajax the other day, he proved his speed, his quality, and he plays for the Portuguese national team. I mean, and I understand why. Rafa Silva is fantastic too, and has to be said. So for this game, you know, it's difficult for me to find very good odds because Ajax is considered like an overwhelmingly favorite. Mm-hmm. But I could go for the following. For example, an Asian handicap of plus 1.5 for Benfica. That pays 189, meaning that Ajax could win it, yes, of course, but not beating them heavily, like, for example, they did with Sporting Lisbon back in autumn. I could go as well for the Asian handicap minus 1.5 for Ajax. It pays a bit more and it's kind of similar. It pays 204. Then another more conservative one, over 1.5 goals in the second half, 156. I like this one a lot because I think that this game is going to open up in the second half. And if you fully back Ajax, you won't find a lot of value in the full-time market, but you could go for the half-time, full-time market, home and home, meaning that they will win the first half and they will keep the win in the second half. But maybe my favorite here is the Asian handicap minus 1.5 for Ajax, 204, or the over 1.5 goals in the second half.
Look, I like the goals market because I think Benfica showed us in the first leg that they are a team that can score, they can capitalize, especially against teams that leave some spaces in behind. You know, this is a team that, yes, got beaten at Bayern Munich, but scored two, and they managed to score two also against Ajax. You know, Ajax, they are very unlikely to change their style of play. They will go forward, they will commit a lot of play forward. Yes, they will probably leave spaces at the back. This is something that sometimes could be a little bit of a pitfall of Ajax and the Dutch team in general. Let's not forget what the Dutch national team did at the Euros, for example, in the game against Czech Republic. Sometimes they tend to forget a little bit about tactics, but nonetheless, Ajax are a very exciting team. Also, the Dutch, you know, they were able to exploit the space between the lines and the first leg against Benfica. Benfica had a lot of problems building from the back, so probably that's also an area that Ajax will continue to exploit. Benfica are in an okay form. I will say only one defeat in the last 13. They kept two clean sheets in the Champions League when they visited Barcelona and when they visited Dynamo Kiev, scored two against Bayern, lost, as I said, 5-2. But you can probably bank on goals being scored in this game. Benfica have conceded four in the last four away games. And, you know, back in December, they played Porto back-to-back away. They conceded three in each game. So it's not a great defense. But when it comes to Ajax, you know, a lot of praise, of course, but I wonder whether sometimes the weight of the moment could play a little bit on this player's mind. You know, remember last season, Ajax in the Europa League against Roma, second leg at home, they were hugely favorite. They missed a lot of chances. They got eliminated. Last game of the group stage of the Champions League, at home against Atalanta, lost, got eliminated. 3 years ago, the famous semi-final against Tottenham, at home, lost. So, you know, there is a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of hype around Ajax. Sometimes you wonder whether the environment is strong enough mentally. But I think, you know, Ajax should go through in this one. But as I said before, you could probably count on Benfica to go on the score sheet. For this reason, I'm going to go for an over 1.5 goals in the first half. So a high scoring game from the start that pays two.
Everyone expects goals. That's why we have to be creative, because the bookies give us odds that are very low, actually. In the full-time market, over 3.5 goals is only 2.0. Talking about this hype, then, Danny, do you think Ajax would qualify or be careful?
I still think Ajax is gonna go through, but in a high-scoring game, I would say.
You too, Álvaro?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Daniele. Daniele said over 1.5 goals in the second half.
First half,
I said that in the second half. I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game. And I trust Ajax a little bit more, because I think that they have been better in the Champions League this season, just for that reason. But Benfica tends to be very competitive as well, so let's not forget that. And they've got Darwin Núñez over there, a player who can also be very dangerous up front. So yeah, the goals market is my favorite thing with Ajax qualifying.
Let's talk then about another tie that is very open. Man United, Atletico de Madrid, two teams, especially I would say the Red Devils, that are not reliable at all. We saw a 1-1, remember, in the Metropolitano. Since then, the only positive thing I would say for Man United is that the beast is awake. Cristiano Ronaldo scored three goals, and all Atletico de Madrid fans, they fear Cristiano Ronaldo with his performances, both with Juventus and with Real Madrid. Against Atletico de Madrid, Here as well, Danny, we are very used to see Man United very favorite for the bookies. Here they are favorites, but not that much. 2.3 for Man United to win. I think this is a very open one, and it can lead to a surprise from Atletico de Madrid.
It could, but with Manchester United, if there is something they are capable of, is winning. You know, this is a team full of individual great talents. It's not a proper cohesive team and coherent team in the way they always play, but they are able to turn up and probably in 25 minutes, 30 minutes, score against anybody, maybe anybody but Man City, and beat anybody. Depends what sort of Man United turns up. And it is a Manchester United that has a lot up and down. And, you know, I give you some numbers. They conceded 9 goals in the last 8. The one against Tottenham was the first win in 4 games. They only kept 4 clean sheets in the last 14. And if you look at the Premier League table of the last 10 games only, they will be 6th. So these numbers are of a team that is really, really inconsistent. And the game at the Banda Metropolitano was full of mistakes from both sides, but especially in the first half, Manchester United were shocking, as it often happens. However, this is a Manchester United that I think under Rangnick has improved. I think they create more chances. They concede fewer goals than before. Before they were leaking goals all the time. They are just not consistent enough and they rely on individual brilliance. People say they made a mistake by signing Ronaldo. Well, imagine where they would be without Ronaldo. I don't think Ronaldo is the problem. Ronaldo is a great goal scorer that probably has only magnified the issues around Manchester United. Manchester United team is not of the same caliber of Ronaldo or to sustain a player like Ronaldo. And, you know, sometimes when Ronaldo is not there, you can tell, or they go missing. Also, there is an issue with the lack of leadership, perhaps in the Manchester United camp. You know, they lost 5-0 to Liverpool this season. They lost 4-1 to Watford. They lost 4-1 to Manchester City. So they are capable or lot of up and downs. But, you know, Rangnick, who's not going to continue to be a Manchester United manager for next season, and I think this again bears a lot of thoughts in the Manchester United camp, only lost 2 games in the Premier League in 15. So are they capable of winning? Yes, of course they are capable of winning. They could qualify against Atletico Madrid, but if they do it, I think they'll have to score more than once. This Manchester United defense doesn't convince me enough to keep a clean sheet. Actually, I think in the Champions League, they never kept a clean sheet so far in seven games. And what Simeone is going to do probably is going to deploy the same tactic as he did against Porto in the last group, his last game of the group, when, you know, he countered at the end. So Manchester United to score in both halves could be a good bet, but also over 1.25 goals in the second half, that doubles your stake pace too, which means if there is only 1 goal in the second half, you only lose half your stake, but there is one more than one goal, which Manchester United are capable of scoring, and maybe Atletico Madrid going for it, you win too.
Álvaro, Atletico, they are having a very tough season. They were able to beat Cádiz in a bad fashion way on Friday. At least João Félix is waking up, and this is the game of the season for them because they've been very poor in Copa del Rey, they've been very poor in La Liga, still fighting for qualifying for the top four. Even in the Champions League, they struggle a lot in the group stage. So I'm sure it will be a lot of criticism around Simeone if they don't win this game.
Yes, but I think that Simeone never gets too much criticism as well. I think that Atletico de Madrid reporters, they That's are tough. kind of benevolent with Simeone. So yeah, there will be some criticism, of course, because this is the last chance for Manchester United and Atletico de Madrid to win a title, as far as I can think of, yeah, because Manchester United are out of the FA Cup as well.
Yeah, they lost 3 minutes, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So they are not going to win the league, none of them. So, you know, if they want to win a title, it has to be the Champions League. It's difficult for them, of course, it's difficult. But yeah, this is a tricky game, actually. I think that both teams, they've got plenty of frailties, and at the same time, Daniele broke down Manchester United very well. I mean, they've got that dangerous ingredient in them, and Atletico de Madrid, you know, when the times got rough this season, they managed to navigate through, like, for example, in the game against Porto. Atletico is in a decent moment right now. I wouldn't call it brilliant, but I would say decent. Since losing against Levante, bottom of the table of La Liga, they have gotten 4 wins and 1 draw, the draw being against Manchester United in a game that Atletico could have won, actually, because, you know, the goal of Elanga was a little bit of a defensive mistake and a little bit of a goalkeeping mistake, I would say, because Jan Oblak wasn't well positioned. I think that João Félix can be one of the decisive players here. Kikas scored 5 goals in the last 5 games, so he's full of confidence. And I think that the goal he scored against Cádiz the other day is the kind of goal that Simeone rates a lot, because he was pressurizing the goalkeeper, João Félix, and he got the ball from him. Ledesma made a massive mistake, and João Félix scored, so good for him. The only thing that worries me about Atletico, well, there are things to get worried about Atletico, obviously, but one thing that is pretty concerning is the amount of players that they might be in the sidelines. It's still not confirmed whether Bersalico, Lemar, Condogbia, Correa, Coque are going to be 100%. Some of them may not make it to the matchday squad. I think that from all the players I mentioned, probably Condogbia is the most important. He was phenomenal against Manchester United. So let's see if these guys... Jimenez as well, yeah. Even though Jimenez said that he's going to be fit for the game, but he got a muscular issue against Cádiz. He said he's going to be fit, but I want to see that too. So, you know, there are many players in the sidelines. When it comes to Manchester United, well, I think that against Spurs in the weekend, I was commentating on the game, Cristiano Ronaldo made the difference. I think that Ralf Rangnick got the tactics kind of right, because at some point he passed from the original formation to playing with 2 strikers, with Cavani and Ronaldo. Then when Ronaldo scored the 3-2, he removed Cristiano, he put Lindelof, he ended up the game playing with 3 centre-backs. That worked for Manchester United. Cristiano has a tendency to score against Atletico. Against Spurs, he scored the 49th hat-trick of his career. And let's see if Bruno Fernandes can play, because he still has COVID. He could play, he could not play. Let's see if he recovers, if he has a negative PCR. And then my questions with Manchester United is, how attacking are they going to be with the fullbacks? Because I want to see if Diogo Dalot plays or Wan-Bissaka plays. This is very important for Manchester United. Or if Marcus Rashford will play or not. I think that Elanga at this moment is better than Marcus Rashford, or he's in a better state than Marcus Rashford. So, in this game, Daniele broke down some very specific odds. I'm going to be a little bit more mundane here. I'm going to go for Atletico to qualify. That pays 2.35. Otherwise, both teams to score 1.96. I'm backing Atletico to qualify, because I think that this game is 50-50, and Atletico to qualify pays better than Manchester United to qualify. That's my only reason to do this.
Okay, Danny, Atletico or Man United then to qualify?
Man United, but we might need more than 90 minutes, you know? I don't know. A high-scoring game, and maybe Man United. But it's on a knife edge. That's why I wouldn't go for that. I would go for the goals market.
50-50 then. Alvaro is highlighting Atletico to qualify. Good odds. And we have good odds if we go for Villarreal to qualify. Let's go to the Wednesday games. Juventus, Villarreal, perhaps. People think that this is an easy one for Juve, but it is not. We saw a draw at La Ceramica. We know how Juventus... They lost against Porto and Lyon recently in this very same round, playing at home. And Juventus, they are winning lately, but they are not convincing. And Villarreal, it's true, Álvaro, that they are suffering in La Liga the whole season, especially when they are playing away. Recently, they lost to Osasuna and to Elche. But in Champions League, they did the job against Atalanta and Young Boys. They have quality, so why not?
Why not? Why not? I think that Villarreal has has shown the great reputation of Spanish middle-class football lately in Europe, because let's not forget that they won the Europa League a season ago to Manchester United in the final. They were ultra competitive against Chelsea in the European Super Cup back in August, and they just lost in penalties. And then when they went to Old Trafford this season, they lost, and I won't stop saying this, because Paco Alcácer was playing instead of Gerard Moreno. Paco Alcácer missed a lot of chances in the first half at Old Trafford, and Villarreal lost. But Villarreal has been very competitive lately in the good European games. And then in La Liga, for example, they got a draw against Real Madrid not long ago. So yeah, I think that in the high-profile games, Villarreal is showing the best of them. For example, beating Atalanta at Bergamo, that was very impressive for me as well, because that showed that Villarreal, you know, they are capable of individualizing each game to forget what's going on in the football season domestically and to switch and become competitive for the important games. And this is something that Unai Emery has done a lot with his squads in the past, and he's doing with Villarreal. Villarreal are gradually climbing in the table. I think that it's not crazy to think that they can finish fifth in La Liga, because, you know, I think that they are carrying a very good form as of late, but the injuries are draining them a little bit, and for this game, I think that the injuries can be key. Albiol, their best defender, and probably their most important player, because there is no clear replacement for him, could be out for this game. And Raúl Albiol has been excellent for Villarreal in the last 2.5 years. And Juan Foyth, a player who could actually play as a right center back, is doubtful for the game as well. So, you know, Villarreal can have a little bit of a problem in that department, and Juventus strikers can capitalize from that. Then Capoue, probably the most important energetic midfielder of Villarreal, I mean, in terms of energy, could be out. And Gerard Moreno, even though they say that he could play some minutes, well, he hasn't played since the 6th of February against Betis. So I think that there are many important absentees here for Villarreal in very sensitive positions. When it comes to Juventus, Daniele will break them down better, but the story of Juventus this season is the story of a team who is trying to gain their best form to be ready to compete in April and May. And of course, to qualify for the Champions League. I mean, they've been chasing the whole season Champions League positions, and they will have to keep on improving if they want to finish the season in this decent fashion. I wouldn't say good fashion, but at least decent fashion. So for this game, I find it difficult. I find it difficult because, as I said before, Villarreal, in the big European games in the last 12 months, they've been really competitive, beating Manchester United in the Europa League, for example, and losing to Chelsea just on penalties. So, for example, something like under 2.5 goals, which is the story of the game against Manchester United or Chelsea, that pays 178. I like this one. Villarreal just keeping long possessions as they do, slowing down the game. Or something that I like even more, an Asian handicap of plus 0.25 in the first half for Villarreal, 1.8. So, you know, the decaf double chance for Villarreal in the first half.
I like it. I think it's going to be even tighter again than the one at Old Trafford. But the story of Juventus is the story of a team that since 27 November, they are unbeaten in the 90 minutes. They lost to Inter extra time in the Super Cup. This is a story of a team that since the end of November will be top of Serie A and will be basically candidate to the title. Have they played particularly well? No, but what is good play without results after all? They got all the results and they did it again at Sampdoria at the weekend, a very clinical performance, even resting Vlahovic for 30 minutes. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be in the title race until the end. They're only 3 points behind Inter. Inter got one game in hand, and in April there is Juventus-Inter. And by everyone, this was the favorite to win the Scudetto at the beginning of the season. Allegri didn't quite find the right formation, didn't have a goal scorer. Now they have it, and they seem to be more balanced. And Juventus is doing this, coping with quite a lot of injuries. No Bonucci, no Chiellini, no Zaccaria in the middle, no Chiesa, which, by the way, is probably the best players. So, you know, something has to be said about Juventus. So 20 games, they are unbeaten in the league since 15. They conceded 5 in the last 10 home games, so obviously based on the defense. The arrival of Vlahovic has changed them completely. I think has lifted the mood around the camp. Whereas before, Juventus looked like were never able to score, now they look like they can score at any minute. Yes, they have a score too many in the league. I think they're only the 8th attack, but the numbers are getting better. And it's much, you know, also a little bit of luck going the way. You know, Sampdoria missed a penalty at the weekend. The first goal was an own goal, but, you know, that's all you need as well. I think with Juventus playing in Europe, though, we have seen, especially playing away from home, the worst side of Juventus. I remember they got thrashed by Chelsea, and after taking the lead at Villarreal, they left Vlahovic too isolated. It was basically Vlahovic against the entire defense of Villarreal, and Juventus sat too deep, and in the end really allowed Villarreal to win the second half. Yes, Alvaro.
Parejo's goal was a massive defensive mistake. I couldn't believe that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a mistake between Rabiot and De Ligt. It's a positional mistake. Terrible. But that's because probably Juventus became a little bit complacent, you know, in that defense. You know, when you don't have Chiellini, you don't have Bonucci, I think you kind of see sometimes the lack of focus. But comes this game... if Gerard Moreno is fit, Juventus will have to deal with something else. So I'm not sure. Let's see, because it is going to be tight. Juventus, I think they're going to have their eyes in the Coppa Italia and the Scudetto. Champions League is a bonus, providing that they're going to qualify for next year. Champions League. Let's see, because I think Juventus can score. I think they can score at any point. But I think the ball will be mostly with Villarreal. For this reason, I'm going to go for a both to score 195. And before you ask me, Edu, I think Juventus are going to qualify for this one. But this one is going to go the long way.
Mm-hmm. Alvaro, Juve or Villarreal?
Look, I tell you what. I think that if Raúl Albiol doesn't play, this is such... a strong absentee for Villarreal that probably I will have to back Juventus, really. I will, and of course, Dusan Vlahovic will make or can make the difference. And Gerard Moreno could make the difference for Villarreal, but he's not ready for the game.
Imagine that Juventus arrived to the later stages in this Champions League the year, for sure that they have less hopes, considering that they wanted to challenge for the title in the previous years. And talking about challenging the title, of course, the champions, Chelsea, the last one to analyze. They are traveling to the north of France. They got a 2-0 result from the first leg. And Chelsea, they are in turmoil because of the Abramovich thing. But the situation is that they are winning, actually, every single game recently to Newcastle, Norwich, Burnley. So they are in great form. Danny, they are very reliable. They don't concede still goals, and they are playing against Lille, a team that struggles sometimes to score. We saw in this Champions League that they didn't concede a single goal when they are playing at home, but they only score one. So perhaps we see a cagey one, something that is beneficial for Chelsea.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the only issue with Chelsea could be that they had one day and a half less rest than Lille. Lille played on Friday, Chelsea played on Sunday afternoon. I don't know who makes these fixtures for the Premier League. Not a great favour to Chelsea, who needs to travel to Lille. You know, they
by
play
bus.
Two games. Eh? Sorry?
By bus, maybe.
By bus, yeah, there are
because
issues.
Because they don't have the budget to take a plane.
Issues of I'm sure they can find a Ryanair. But, you know, Chelsea have played two games in 4 days. I watched them playing in Norwich. They were professional, consistent. It looked like Chelsea of last season, really. Actually, it was pretty much the same formation because Lukaku only came from the bench on the 85th minute. You can rely on Chelsea. They're doing the job at the moment. Yeah, sometimes they struggle against very organized defense. They struggle against Newcastle. They struggle against Burnley, but they can find an opening because they got a lot of class. And in fact, 6 Premier League games in a row, they won. They only lost one in 25, including the trip to Abu Dhabi for the fifth World Cup. They kept 5 clean sheets in the last 7, only conceding 19 in the Premier League. Is basically the numbers of last season. I don't think they've scored more goals than last season. They found in Havertz the man, 6 goals in the last 7. By the way, it's Havertz, the top goal scorer under Tuchel. He scored 15 since Tuchel arrived in all competitions. They play with Havertz as a false 9. Werner is deployed wide against teams very organized. Probably you need a big number 9. Probably you need Romelu. But if Romelu is not available, then Chelsea are going to continue this way. What is very important in Chelsea game is the wing backs. I saw them at Norwich. They play with Azpilicueta and Saul. Azpilicueta ran out of steam after 50 minutes. Saul comes inside too much. With Chilwell and James, who go to the byline, it's completely different. Let's see if they're fit for this one. I think Daniel James is the most important player. alongside Jorginho in this Chelsea team. You know, and Norwich, by the way, was the 10th away win of the season, so do not discard Chelsea going to Lille and pick up a win, but also shutting down Lille the way they shut down Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final. That was probably one of the best games of the season tactically, the way they shut the space but also created problems for the opposition. So I'm gonna be very confident for Chelsea to qualify, probably, you know, considering Lille problems scoring and Chelsea very strong defense. We all know that Mandi is one of the best keepers in the world. You know, we had a lengthy discussion last year in this program with Alvaro, under one goal in the first half. So it's a bit of a conservative one. If it's only one goal in the first half, you get your money back. If the first half ends 0-0, you win 1.92.
The magazine 442 just named him best goalkeeper in the world, by the way.
Top three.
This Chelsea is still very solid, Álvaro. It won't be easy to kick them out again from the Champions League.
Yeah, quick note on 442, the magazine. I have no problem with Mendy being up there, but I've got a bigger problem when all the goalkeepers in that ranking play in Premier League. That shows a little bit
bias.
The bias and the angle. Yeah, of course. I think that Thibaut Courtois could be there as well, of course. And many more goalkeepers that probably I don't remember of right now because we don't have the time for that. But it's true that he's a great goalkeeper, and I think that he is one of the main catalyzers for Chelsea to have so many clean sheets. I mean, a few numbers about Mendy. In 18 Champions League games, he has had 14 clean sheets. This season, he has kept a clean sheet in 5 out of 6 games in the Champions League alone. So that tells you about the quality of this goalkeeper, the quality of the Chelsea. Chelsea shuts the door really well to the opponents. I mean, they shut it so well that sometimes they are a proper deterrent to everyone. And, you know, I think that they had an accident against Zenit. I wouldn't blame Kepa for that. I think that it was about the mentality for that game. And that's why they came second in their group. But in the Champions League, they've been defensively very, very, very good. By the way, what a save from Mendy against Newcastle. That volley from Almiron, that was a beautiful one, Daniele. Yeah. And the goal from Kai Havertz reminds me so much of Dennis Bergkamp. I mean, the control and the quick shot.
But you said that about Grealish against Peterborough. Everything reminds you of Bergkamp.
No, Baggio.
Baggio. That's true. Baggio against Juventus.
Come on. You know that goal from Baggio was better.
That was fantastic.
But that thing from Kai Havertz is very characteristic of him. I think that he is capable of controlling the ball inside the box very well, high balls. And, his quality. Daniele talks about Romelu Lukaku's physicality for many games, which can be very beneficial. But yeah, Kai Havertz, at the end of the day, he's scoring goals little by little, and the truth is that his numbers are getting better and better. Not as good as they were at Bayer Leverkusen, but he's still in his learning curve. When it comes to Lille, I think that the good thing with Lille is that they are keeping a lot of clean sheets lately. I mean, I think that they are not going to qualify for the next round in the Champions League, but if you see their numbers alone, they have been very impressive. I mean, in the last 5 games, they have conceded only 2 goals, and those 2 goals were against Chelsea. But in Ligue 1, right now, they are one of the most solid defensive structures. I think that one of the main problems of the team is that Jonathan David hasn't scored so many goals this year in 2022. In fact, he scored the other day, finally, his first club goal in 2022. At the beginning of January. And then Burak Yilmaz, of course, he's quite veteran, and I think that he was going to find it very difficult to keep on scoring so many goals this season after an excellent 2021 season. So for this game, I like the clean sheet stuff. I think that Chelsea could keep one, that pays 260, but for that they will have to be tuned and they will have to take this game very seriously. I hope they do. The clean sheet is kind of interesting, but more simple. Maybe Chelsea to win 1.95. Or an Asian handicap of -0.75 for Chelsea. That pays 2.2, meaning that if they win by 2, you win. If they win by 1, you get half a win. I like those.
Mm-hmm. Very open this round of fixtures. Not Lille Chelsea, of course. We all expect Chelsea to qualify probably in a KG1. So we analyze, as always, the 4 games. Álvaro, let's go with Yoraka.
Yeah, very quickly, I remove Lille Chelsea from Ayaka because I think that it's all down to Chelsea's attitude in this game. I don't know how seriously they are going to play, 100% or not, I don't know. So I'm going for the following. Asian Handicap plus 0.25 in the first half for Villarreal. Manchester United, Atletico, both teams to score. Ajax, Benfica, both teams to score in the second half. This is speculative, I know. And Ajax, Benfica, over 1.5 goals in the second half. Altogether, 14-30.
I keep the four games. Ajax, Benfica, both to score. Manchester United, Atletico, over 2.5 goals. Man United needs more than one goal to win for sure. Juve, Villarreal, first half, x2. Lille, Chelsea, under 1.5 goals in the second half. And the total odds, it's 9.54.
Thank you, guys. See you with the Europa League.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Who do you think is going to qualify? Man United, Atletico de Madrid, Juve, Villarreal, Ajax, Benfica? Let me know in the comment section. And of course, don't forget to press the like and subscribe. And remember also, we have a podcast for you. Thanks for watching. See you soon.